نحن الزارعون. Look at the seed that you sow into the ground. All you do is you sow the seed, then who sprouts it? Who splits it? And who allows it to grow? Obviously, it's not your work. You can see it, it's clear, it's manifest, it doesn't require any further explanation. But your work is just to put the seed into the ground and then to split it, to sprout it, and for it to develop and reach its perfection is the work of Allah Ta'ala. So don't you see Allah Ta'ala in His creation, in His Qudrat, in His beauty? Don't you see it? For our uses and purposes, a businessman, all he can do is open up a shop, clothing shop, shoe shop, whatever shop, that's all he can do. But to direct the clientele to his shop is the work of Allah Ta'ala. Providing of the rosy and sustenance is Allah Pak's work. So Allah Ta'ala will encourage this person that you go to his shop, that person you go to his shop, and each person gets a rosy. So in the creation we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this needs to build our iman, our affinity, our confidence, our bonding in Allah ta'ala must grow. Every coming day needs to strengthen our iman. There was one statement that our Buzuganuddin all made. And from now till, you can trace it approximately 300 years ago, all making the same statement. And that statement was made to build the iman. Statement was, Kabhi bhi kisi se kisi kisam ki ummeed na rakhna. At no time should you have any hopes of any person. Even the saint of the time, don't have hopes in him. At any time, don't have any hopes with any person. Even it may be the saint of the time, but you don't have hopes with persons. Men are limited, and they can work only within their limitations. And so is every other creation. They can work, but to a certain point they can work, and they have to say that we cut off at this point. Beyond this, we cannot work. I remember some 35 years ago, 1980-81. So one friend of mine's, his daughter was giving birth, first child. So it's the first grandchild. He's very, very anxious. He's got wealth. He's got the contacts and everything else he's got. So when the child was delivered, and the child was going through some difficulty, or stressing, going through some difficulty. So the person phoned me up, said, Mawla, make dua. I engaged 25 specialists on my child, grandchild. Some brain specialists and heart specialists and that specialist, 25 of them. And after a day, his child gave up. So the doctors had to say, see, we can only reach to a certain point and help, we can assist. But we have to say that we cut off at a certain point. Life is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Death is in the hand of Allah Ta'ala. So all this is required for us to plant our hopes, our yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala. The fights, the disputes, the arguments and the quarrels that take place is on account of us having hopes and expectations. The hope in this person, yeah, he will do it. He'll make things work out for me. And he didn't keep up to my hopes, he didn't keep up to my expectations, so then I feel depressed, I feel hurt, and our relationship suffers because I had that hope with him. But then who asked you to have the hope? From the beginning, it is being told to you that the hopes must be in Allah Ta'ala alone, not on people. So one person came to one Buzrug, said, make a recommendation for me. I need to get married to this girl, yeah? And make a recommendation. So he wrote there, that if you consent, then fal mu'ti huwa Allah wa antal ma'jur. If you consent, give your consent, then the one that is making this happen is Allah Ta'ala. But in the process, you will get the reward that you are being considerate to a Muslim's concern, considerate to his feeling, his request, been considerate. So for your consideration, you want to get rewarded. But on the contrary, he says, but if you don't give in and you turn this person's application, turn it off, you can't turn it out. So فَالْمَانِئُ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ الْمَعْزُورُ. So it's not a problem, don't take this personally, because the one that is not making this happening, is the one that is not allowing this to happen, is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is not allowing this to happen. وَأَنْتَ الْمَعْزُورُ, and you are excused in this situation. So I don't have it personally against you, okay, why didn't you make this happen? You made it happen, it was by the will of Allah Ta'ala, but because you are given in, so you'll be rewarded, it will make dua for you. But on the contrary, if it was that you couldn't give in and you didn't allow it to happen, then too we won't take it personally. We'll say, well, Allah Ta'ala did not want this to happen, and because he didn't want it to happen, therefore it didn't happen, and you are excused in the whole situation. So don't take this personally. Now, what a good relationship we can have with people when our iman is right. Otherwise, everything will be stressing, will be hurting, will be feeling distressed, disappointed. A person is looking for a job, see, can't find a job. So, jobs are very scarce. So he came to the city center, thought, well, in the farm I can't get a job, perhaps in the village I won't get a job, in the center I will get a job. Looking high and low, he eventually got a job as a cook. He must be a cook all three meals. So he's doing the calculation in his mind. If I do the cooking, then obviously, because I'll have to be seeing to the boss all the time, morning, afternoon, evening, maybe late night. So my boarding will be already situated, so sorted out. I won't have any problem with my boarding. So one expense will be cut off. I won't have to have a boarding facility. So one expense is cut off. Then he's calculating that the salary seems to be very small, but you see, when the boss is going to be eating, then there'll be some leftovers. So I'll try and make do with that. So my boarding will be sorted out, my food will be sorted out, and I can send the home to my wife and children in the village. So he's already calculated it in his mind, and according to his calculation, he took the job on. Now, first day he's on the job, so he had to prove his best, that I can cook and I can cook very well. So all that, the understanding he had about cooking and whatever, he did it, laid it out very well. So the style in India is, if you're the cook, you have to sit near the boss and you have to dish out. You have to scoop out the food. So he's watching now, how much am I scooping out and how much is left for me? How much I'm scooping out and how much is going to be left for me? The boss is enjoying the meal because he didn't taste something like this for a long period. Scooping out again. Now, boss asks some more. Scooped out some more. I think, all right, he's thinking to himself, now everything is finished. Maybe there's a little bit of crumbs left around. I will use that and scrape the walls of the pot, you see. So at least that will see me through the night. Now the boss said to him, you know, in India, when they talk about food or the pot, they say Kaaba Sharif. They call it a Kaaba Sharif. Out of respect, not that it is the Kaaba Sharif, but out of respect, they will call it a Kaaba Sharif. So the boss is telling the cook, ke zara patila de do, me Kaaba Sharif me jaru de do. Give me the pot so I will sweep the Kaaba Sharif. Else I'll scrape everything, make it clean. So now all his hopes, you know, he had that hopes that last hope was of his was death, broken down. When his last hope broke down, so he raised the pot. Now you're cooking in those days in coal and in wood, right? So the under of the pot would be dark black. So Now, the cook, in the state of frustration, total despondency, nothing now. Whole night I will spend in a state of hunger. So he raises the pot, facing the under of the pot towards the boss, and he says, "Lo, zara Hajar Aswad ka bhi bosa le lo." Kiss the Hajar Aswad also. See, now this expectations, hopes with people, expectations with people, this is what it culminates, it ends up, that you feel despondent, you feel depressed, you feel very much remorseful, right? So this way it stems from this point that your hopes must be in Allah Ta'ala. He wishes it will happen. He doesn't wish it will not happen. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wrote up to Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiallahu anhu, "Say me something that you learned directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Now Muawiyah is the king of the time. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is one of the subjects. But now look at their concern, look at the engagements, what they would like to engage in. Not in show, or not in any other type of vanities, frivolities, pastime and sports. That wasn't the thing. It's something that you heard directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muawiyah is a great king, ruling at that time over the greatest portion of the earth, right? So he's so powerful, so mighty. But then his engagement, what is he involved in? What is his occupation? He asks one of his generals, Mughira ibn Shu'ba, "Tell me something that you learned directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Mughira radiallahu anhu writes up to him, he said, "I heard Nabi sallallahu used to recite this after every farz namaz, the fourth kalima as we know it, right? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And thereafter, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima manat wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jadd." This was the dua that he would read after namaz. Allahumma, oh Allah ta'ala, what you give, nobody can stop. And what you stop, nobody can give. And nobody's efforts can work against your decision. Like I explained now, the specialists tried to the level best. But at some point, they had to say, we give up. Here, it is the command of Allah Ta'ala that will prevail. So, وَلَا يَنْفَعُوا ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. No matter how hard you try, but the decision will remain Allah Ta'ala's. If you can only understand that, we try, we work, but then we are pleased with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. His decree, we're pleased. We don't complain. We don't say why, when, how, but you know why this thing had to come on my end. This is the decision of Allah Ta'ala, let it prevail. We are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, right? The boss in a company, the boss says something, the CEO says something, your fortune is to just agree with the boss, right? We listen to you, inshallah we'll try and carry out your commands. Whatever you want, we'll try and make it work, we'll make it work. But as you're giving the instructions, and the work is, you know, why like this, and boss, why not like that, and why like this, and why can't you tell him, why are you telling me? See? After a few days, the boss gets tired, by you want to listen to me, or you want to listen to yourself, make up your mind. If you want to listen to me, just take my instructions and move on. Otherwise, you do your own thing. So, we are living in the world of Allah Ta'ala. Our fortune is just to listen, just to take the instruction from Allah Ta'ala. He knows the wisdoms, He knows the nitty-gritties, He knows the philosophy. Our understanding is so small, and then we understand even less than what our brains have. We use about 40-50% of our brains, right? So our understanding is so little, and then can we challenge Allah Ta'ala? So why did you say this, and how did you say this, and why is it me that you are instructing? Why this calamity fell on my lap? Why not on his lap? That is not for us to say. It's your decision. We will try to be safe. We will try to do the good thing. We will try to do the right thing. Thereafter, the decision is Allah Ta'ala. Whatever he says, I'm happy with it. I'm pleased with it. In Surah Qaf, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Jannati. Right? The Jannati, what are his features? لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ مُنِيب. Allahum munib. So there's about 3-4 features Allah Ta'ala speaks about of Jannati, and it rounds up the right Jannat. You want the Jannat at a higher level, right? You don't want to stay perhaps in Overport, you want to stay in Bali too. So pay the price, Allah Pak says, right, I got it for you, but pay the price and you will live there. No, I want this type of finishes, I want a pool as well. He said, I've got all that in stocks, but then pay the price and take it. So what is the price? What is the price? You pay the price and you will get it. Whatever you're asking for, you will get it. But what's the price that you need to pay? Allahum Munib. Allah is a person who regularly asks Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness in the morning, in the afternoon, amongst people. But he tries and reflects over himself, looks within his weaknesses, and asks Allah Ta'ala for an apology. Allah Ta'ala, I made a mistake. I messed it up here. So he's looking within himself. He's introspecting himself. No, I said something what I was not supposed to say. My eyes seen something that it was not supposed to be seeing. I heard something that I was not supposed to be listening to. So he's looking within himself and asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So he's humble. The one that is humble, he will acknowledge, and then he will ask for forgiveness. Simple as that. He will acknowledge that this is my mistake, and I humbly ask for an apology, for forgiveness for the wrong that I have done. So that is Allah, that is that person that's living in the higher level of Jannah. You have no problems from the time of Qabr and the Akhirat. And the second Munib, who is that Munib? Munib is that person who is conforming, agreeing. Whatever Allah Pak says, and he's agreeing, he's submissive. So one that is humble and one is submissive, right? He's submissive and he's humble. I ask you, if that worker of yours, he's submissive and he's humble and honest, won't you love him? Whatever you're telling him, I will try, I will work, I will conform, I will agree. He's submissive and he's humble, but he's honest as well. You will love him. Maybe he's not the best professional person. Maybe he's not so articulate in what he's doing, but he's humble, he wants to learn. He's submissive in whatever he's doing. So you will take a liking for him. Your heart will just melt for him. So Allah Ta'ala created us. He knows we have got our limitations. But within our limitations, we are submissive to Allah Ta'ala. We humble towards Him. We're not showing an attitude. We're not showing that we are something. So Allah Ta'ala will definitely look at us favorably. But are we submissive? Are we humble? Are we honest towards Him? Whatever He's going to say, we will do it. So the first thing that was emphasized upon in Makkah Mukarramah was the Iman. So one is the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, recognize Him, understand Allah Ta'ala. You recognize Allah Ta'ala, you understand His power. When you understand His power, then you want to obey Him, but you didn't recognize Him, you don't know His power, you don't know what He's got. Then you think to yourself, all right, I'm listening to Allah Ta'ala, what will I get? That's what you'll think of, right? That's what you'll understand. You've got a friend, right? You want to honor the friendship because you understand what you're going to get out of this friendship, out of the relationship. What the relationship is going to do for you, you honor it. Because you know the friend, you know the power, you know the might, you know the might that he's got. Because you understood the might, therefore you want to listen to him. So you will get favored. Right? So the need is to understand who Allah Ta'ala is. When you've understood and recognized him, then you will listen to him. But when you don't understand Allah Ta'ala, you don't understand his power, you don't understand his might, you don't understand his treasure, then you think to yourself, well, if I listen, what will happen? Mera kya hoga? What's going to happen? That's an indication that you didn't understand Allah Ta'ala. You didn't recognize Him. If you understood Him, you recognized Him, then you won't have any hesitation in listening to Him. I must take it, I'll take it. I must give up. I must give this up, I'll give it up. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram understood Allah Ta'ala. When they understood Allah Ta'ala, they were commanded that wine is haram. Wine is haram. One commandment from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wine is haram. And if you look at the Arabs in those days, they should drink like fish. They had about 360 varieties of wine, a different wine for a different day in the year, right? So you can imagine now how addicted they were, how dependent they were on this wine. But this one single command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam issued was enough for them. People that had stocks of it, stocks, you know, they were doing business, millions. For them to spill it into the streets of Medina was nothing, it was a joke. Like, this command from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to throw it away, that's our duty. We feel honored in executing the command of Allah Ta'ala. They knew Allah Ta'ala, they understood Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They didn't say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, hamara bepar kis tarah se chalega? Ye nahi karenge, we won't do this, then how is our business going to run? How will things work out for us? We have to do this for our business to run. So they understood Allah Ta'ala, they understood his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To execute the command was very, very simple, very, 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 very simple, very easy. So this is the first thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worked upon in Makkah Mukarramah. And the second thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worked upon in Makkah Mukarramah was the consciousness, the awareness of Qiyamah, answerability, accountability, standing before Allah Ta'ala. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. You're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرًا. Nothing small or big will be left out. Everything is going to be accounted for by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I was explaining the same concept to one person this last week. So he's complaining about one thing and the second thing and the third thing. So I told him, leave your complaints now. Listening to all bad news is distressing so much, so much. Big businessman, he's making millions, but he's losing a few bobs this side, that side, he's losing something also. Now that becomes an issue. I'm earning, but why am I losing this thing here? So I tell him, see, look at the broader picture, right? Don't look at the small things. The small things, what is meant to happen will happen. But you're going to talk about this, keep singing about this, then you get depressed. You won't make shukr over what Allah Ta'ala has given you. If you think of what Allah Ta'ala has given you, then you'll forget all these things here. So what happens to us, we are selective in our thinking. Only think about those distressful days, those days of hardship, problems. We only think about that. And we find some type of satisfaction in thinking and reminiscing all the distressful moments. 1976, I went to India, you see. So I had to go to Nizamuddin Markaz, and I was coming out of the Markaz. So that time the whole Markaz was quite different. Very simple homes on both sides. So as I'm passing through, I see one car and someone inside that looks like a woman, and she's crying, and she's crying miserably. But on both sides of the street, there are people well-dressed, and they're amusing themselves. Looks like it's part of the whole thing. She's crying away, she's crying her guts. And these people are on the both sides of the streets, and they are rejoicing, happy, and nobody is showing any concern, nothing. So I don't know what's going on. So I said, what's happening? This girl is crying here in this car. And they're sitting here, they're relaxed, nobody's paying any attention. What's going on? So you don't know this, Mona. You don't know this. So what's happening? Tell me what's happening. No, it's a wedding, you see. So then what's this all about now in a wedding? You must cry. So now, that wedding is counted to be a successful wedding when the bride cries loud, she cries. So they will induce crying, Before they should induce labor. Now they induce crying. One day you were the cherry of the eye of your mother. And remember how you should sit in your father's lap. And remember, how your father should like your tea, how he should present all that to you. Now that child don't want to cry, but the tearing is induced, deliberate. Kya fayda, kya sabab? It's just an Indian culture. The culture has gone so deep, we find the satisfaction in crying, someone is miserable, someone is distressing, so we find that satisfaction. So the second thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worked on was the consciousness, the awareness of the hereafter, Qiyamah. You're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. And kulhum atihi yawm al-qiyamati farda. You will come individually before Allah Ta'ala. No contacts, absolutely no influence. You can't influence Allah Ta'ala's decisions. Not with your influence, not with your contacts. Two things that you can think about, I can influence a decision with my influence, right? My money or my contacts. But Allah is saying, La tuqbalu minha shafa'a, wa la yukhazu minha adl. No influence is going to work, and no contacts is going to work. You're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala face to face, one on one. Kullum ati yawm al qiyamati farda, coming alone to Allah Ta'ala, and all your hisab kitab, from the time that you know yourself till now, before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So that consciousness, you're so overwhelmed with that consciousness that it makes you forget everything else. Al-haakumut takasur hatta zurtumul maqabir. the mutual rivalry of accumulating and piling wealth has distracted you from the actual cause. It's a cause, right? And the mutual rivalry of piling wealth, has distracted you. Imagine now you're playing, you're in the cup finals, right? The cup finals. And you've got the professional league now, the cup finals, right? And last half an hour now, you just have to score one goal and you'll win, you'll run away. Now around that time, you've just got half an hour. Meanwhile, the soccer side is 45 minutes aside, right? You've got 40 minutes or so, look, you want. And you've got a chance, you know, you just maneuver the ball, you'll make it, right? And around that time, that man is rejoicing, he's waving at the girls, right? And he's showing all his stunts, how he can keep the ball above, you know. What will say, what the captain will say, or what the manager of the team will say? Hey, we're wasting time, we didn't come for this. And the spectators also say, we didn't come here that you may entertain us. Score the goal, prove your point, keep our name, you know, we are supporting this team here, and you need to do something. So that's our position. We got distracted in so many frivolities, things that are meaningless, doesn't concern us, that the actual cause, what we're supposed to be doing, that we have totally ignored. Al-haakumut takasur hatta zurtumul maqabir. What a reality, the grave, the hereafter, the life after death, what a reality, stunning reality. Al-qariya, stunning, stunning reality. So, the consciousness, the awareness of the hereafter will bring you on course. Will bring you on course. Now, when you say bring you on course, what do you mean by bring you on course, right? You can only progress if you got this type of an understanding. To the level you got this understanding, this reality of Qiyamah, life after death, you have to stand alone before Allah Ta'ala. You will be buried all alone, right? This reality overwhelms you, you're on track. It will push you, it will propel you, it will move you. But if you have ignored this reality, you don't want to see a grave, you don't want to go to a funeral, you don't want to even touch the person that has died, you know, give him ghusl or something. I've seen this type of situations. Give him ghusl now, tell the boy, you know, your father's body now. All right, don't do the ghusl, there was some attar, just applied. Well, I can't do it. But he has died, you did die, you touch him, nothing's going to happen. Just touch him, just put the attar for your father. No, I can't do that. See, that reality is so much, you can't even touch that dying person. All right, just pass that plank, you know, plank. Takhte ko zara puncha do kabar ke liye. No, I don't touch that also. He's so afraid, if you want to touch that takhte, wo mar jayega. Maybe if he touches it, he'll die. So he's so overwhelmed with it. So the Quran is bringing you to your senses. Right? See this Qiyamah, life after death, Qabr. This is the thing that will put you on course. It'll bring you on the track. If you don't have that, you're moving in circles. You got that, you're on the track. As long as you're on the track, you're going to move. Imagine you got the train, right? You got a train, you got a coach with all the finishes. Best finishes you got, state of the art, first class. Every type of service, food, attendance, everything you can imagine, everything you've got. But that train, that coach that you've got is off the course, off the track. I ask you, that train, can it make any progress? So similarly, a man who doesn't have the consciousness, the awareness of Qiyamah, life after death, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accountability, he doesn't have all that. He has other fancy philosophical ideas he got, but he doesn't have this. He can't make any progress. So your progress is determined to the extent that you think about the hereafter, reward, Jannat, Jahannam, Akhirat, Qabr, all these different stations that you have to go through. You think about it, you make muzakara, you talk about it with your friends, with your wife and children, etc. To the extent that you talk about it, are you on the track? To the extent that you talk about it, is your progress. That will determine your progress. You got it? You're progressing. You don't have it, there's no progress. So if you examine and compare the Meccan surahs against the Madani surahs, you'll find one distinct thing. Here it's talking more about Iman and Qiyamah, life after death. And Madani surahs is talking about the finishes of Islam, right? Now, you know, you came into Islam, into the house of Islam, came into the home of Islam, Now, home is a shelter, right? But then without the finishes, then the home is not comfortable. Imagine you got the home, but there's no plumbing at all, right? There's no plumbing, there is no toilet. There is no electricity. Will you want to stay there one day? So your Islam will be attractive to you. It'll have an appeal. It will have an attraction. You will feel comfortable. You will feel lovely to the extent of the finishes of Islam. So you need to have, one is the shelter, the whole structure, and then you need to have the finishes. The finishes will give the attraction. It will give that bonding, that attraction, that appeal. To the extent you have the finishes, will you have the appeal? You want to do it, you want to do this, you want to do it. That will give the attraction to Islam, to you and to others. Others also will feel attracted to Islam. You will feel attracted to Islam. You will feel attracted to deeds according to the finishes. One Muslim man, he jumped the bus, right? So he's traveling distance of about 50 k's from here to Vellum, for example, 40, 50 k's. Now, Indian conditions, traffic, and quite heavy traffic, right? Now, the movement is quite slow because you can't move very fast. In the meanwhile, the bus stopped, and one woman, she would seem that she's pregnant, a Hindu woman, she jumped in with her husband. Bus is choked, there's no place to sit. So Muslim thought, all right, there's other people here, these must be more younger. They should have the courtesy of giving this pregnant woman a seat. But he waited for about 30, 40 seconds. He found that nobody is offering the seat. He got up and he offered her the seat. She was very appreciative. She sat down. Anyway, they jumped off. Husband got to talk with this person here. They got the particulars, addresses, etc., whatever, whatever. She came to hospital, and as she reached hospital, I think within 3 hours, she delivered. So she was right at the edge, right at the verge of delivering, and she delivered. When she delivered, a day later, the husband came to congratulate, etc. So she is talking to the husband, you know what, I got something that I kept as a secret from you. I kept it away. But because we are in a marriage, so it is not right for me to keep away a secret from you. Now you're getting situations, you know, about 2 days ago, there was a questioner. The wife is complaining that the husband has got no right to look into his WhatsApp. Her WhatsApp. No. Husband is complaining the wife has no right to look at his WhatsApp. In the meanwhile, she discovered that he's got all girlfriends and everything else, all wrong, unda dandas are carrying on. And he says, no, you got no right. Islamically, it's impermissible for you to spy into my secret life. But the wrong that he's doing, is that permissible? You are asking her not to pry into her life, but the wrong that you are involved in, is that permissible? So selective Islam, you see, it's selective Islam. Now you're acting and you're behaving in a very suspicious manner. When you're behaving with suspicion, right, then anybody won't feel comfortable with you. They won't feel comfortable, they won't know what you're doing. What are you doing? She loses the trust. Now you're complaining about her that she's not respecting the law of Islam. She's not giving him his privacy and his respect. But are you complaining about yourself that you're not giving Allah Ta'ala the allegiance and the respect that you deserve to give? Are you fair with Allah Ta'ala? You're quick to run her down, but what about yourself? Therefore, our Busugaradin has said that this is an experience thing. It's experience. We already have proven this. There's no two ways about it. If a person is going to be neglecting his namaz, right? He's neglecting his namaz, and he has to get a child, then 9 out of 10, the child will be disobedient to him. The reason is obvious. You've been disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, so your child will be disobedient to you. You have broken the command of Allah Ta'ala, so your child will break your commands. And you want your child to be loving, obedient, then you respect the command of Allah Ta'ala. He is the doer, he makes it happen. He puts it into the heart, that respect the father, respect the child, respect everybody else, right? But you break the command of Allah Ta'ala, and then you want the child to succumb, to respect, etc. What do you mean? We're trying to say that your position is even greater than Allah Pak. Break the command of Allah Ta'ala is alright, but don't break my command. So your position, you've taken, assume a position above Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So when you are disrespected, you know, you're going to get cursed. You're not listening to me. I'm your father, I'm your mother, but you're not listening to me. But in the meanwhile, you breaking the command of Allah Ta'ala, won't you be cursed? So it's a time now, it's a time that everybody jumps off for his personal rights. But your duties and obligations, nobody's concerned. So anyway, this Hindu woman, she delivers, and she's speaking to the husband, when the husband comes to visit her. You know what, something I kept as a secret. But you are my husband, my life partner, so I can't keep away anything from you. Secret I kept in my mind, when I saw the behavior of that Muslim in that bus, you know, it really overwhelmed me. And you found out the particulars. So I have decided within my mind that this son of mine, his name will be Muhammad. After that person who had shown that courtesy to me, in the midst of all the others that were our brethren, this was the only person that had shown this type of compassion, love, you see. So this is the finishing of Islam. One is the out of Islam, the structure, and one is the finish. The finish will attract. I ask you, you want to go and book into a hotel, no finish, absolutely no finish, no paint, no tiles, no electricity. Are you going to go there? Perhaps you won't go there for free also. If they offer that to you for free, you don't want to go there. You know, you need to have that finish for you to get into that hotel. So for you to be an ambassador of Islam, to have an attraction, then the finishing of Islam must be in you, not just the structure. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we have got iman, right? But the finishing, that's where we are going off. Finishing is not there. That finishing then completes the person. It perfects the person. It makes that person attraction. You are comfortable with Islam, and Islam is comfortable with you. You are an invitation to Islam, and Islam invites you all the time. You're bringing Islam to the world, and the world is bringing Islam to you. Both ways it's working. You are bringing it to people, and people are bringing it to you. So it's such a beautiful environment. You're going to be faithful to Allah Ta'ala. You're going to be faithful, loving to Allah Ta'ala, obliging, submissive, like I said, submissive and humble, honest. Just these three things we have in ourselves. Submissive, honest, and humble, right? Then even the non-Muslims will cooperate with you. Say, boss, it's your namaz time, you better go for namaz. Boss, but you know, you don't normally talk to girls. Why are you talking to girls today? He will help you out. No, this is wrong. This behavior of yours is not Muslim behavior. They will tell you that it's not Muslim behavior. If you are honest with Allah Ta'ala, then they will cooperate, they will support you. Slip up, they will remind you. Even your enemy will turn out to be a blessing. See that? If you are truthful to Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, the wife discloses this to the husband. And the husband said, yes, you know, I had the same thing in my mind. What you have in your mind, I had the same thing in my mind. So now we are, both of us are on one page, on the same page. So the husband says, we're not going to stop here. Now that whoever everything is ended, confinement is ended. So he was a notable person in his village. So all the village people came to congratulate, to see the child, all that. So he assembled them all of them, 200, 300 of them. And in their presence, he declared, he said, this is what happened to me. And I declare the shahadat, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But that crowd was so overwhelmed that all of them said, we also accept. Now just recently this happened. You see that finishing is so, so important. We think, well, I got iman, that's enough. I got the consciousness of Allah, that's enough. Minus the finishes. The finish is not important. So like the structure is important, the finishing is also very important. The color combination, paint also, color combination. What type of tiles you're going to be using? So important it is. You know, you'll spend money, go to Dubai to see the color combination, to see the type of the arrangement of the tiles. Right? So much you'll spend. But by the combination of your iman, what will make your iman more attractive, more sweet, more pleasant. Yajidu halawat al iman. What will get you the sweetness of iman? The sweetness of iman, what will get you the sweetness of iman? So I was thinking around these lines here, and I thought I've got some time to read, alhamdulillah. Right? So perhaps I can open this topic. Right? Huh? Anything else?
No.
So I thought of Surah Hujarat, right? 26 Sipara, Surah Hujarat. The first verse starts off like this. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, both are in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a discussion going on. And the discussion is that this clan has accepted Islam, and who should we appoint over them to be in charge of their affairs? You know, in every small village or small town, then we have one person in charge, like a mayor or someone, who takes control. Whatever the needs are, requirements are, he will see it on behalf of the state. The state can't go to every village and every town, so they'll appoint someone to run the affairs. So Abu Bakr is suggesting Hazrat Qaqa radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is suggesting Aqra ibn Habis radiallahu anhu. That discussion is going on. Now, sometimes when you are discussing with friends, then your voice raises up a little bit. You don't mean to offend, but you try to strike a point. You know? Now, for that moment, perhaps they became oblivious of the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their voices raised, and they spoke before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the verse was revealed, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. That you don't speak before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't put yourself before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In anything, let him start off, let him initiate. Then he asks you your suggestion, you will present your suggestion, not before he has asked you. The Nabi is the man of Allah Ta'ala. He is the man of Allah Ta'ala. He will start off something. He will initiate. And then if he asks you for your suggestion, then you will do some contribution. Otherwise, you will not initiate these things. You won't be forward. See, he's teaching you adab, etiquette. That this is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And how do you conduct yourself? Right? Then again, لا ترفعوا, don't raise your voice above the voice of Nabi Sallam. Don't you raise your voice. أن تحبط أعمالكم. If you are going to raise your voice, what is going to end up in? Your deeds will become null and void. Whatever you have done, all null and void. Finished. خلاص. وأنتم لا تشعرون. You may not even realize it, that your deeds have gone all null and void. Al-Mawt Tanwi Sabrah explains this verse. How is it that the person just raised his voice and his deeds were all zeroed? Where he was standing and he raised his voice in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a result, everything is gone, zeroed. So he says now, as a result of not showing that type of respect to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is going to happen is the grace that you have to do good, the grace that you have to make tawbah, that grace will then decrease, diminish. You know? Islamic financing, they talk of diminishing murabaha. Diminishing, right? So, that is, you didn't show that adab. To who didn't you show that adab? You didn't show it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As a result, you see what you are doing is not of your own. It's the grace of Allah Ta'ala that you're doing what you are doing. If Allah Ta'ala pulls that away, you left, zero, you khalas. So if you want to preserve that, then you show respect. And if you don't show respect, Allah Pak will pull away his grace. I mean, he pulled away his grace, now you can't do it. There's no movement. Hey, there's no life now. Before I was life, I was moving, progressing. And now I'm dead. I don't have that. I don't have the movement. See the respect. Some years ago, Mufti Zubair's father used to come and make atikaf in the masjid there by us. So old person is nice to draw from them. The old stories, a lot of things to learn, right? And they'll share some good anecdotes, some good experiences, their life experiences. So he says to me that he had a friend living in London, you know, active in Jamaat, very active. So it happened that Hazaji Mawlana Masihul Asab Rahmatullahi was around in London. And it came out of this person, this friend's tongue, that Mawlana Masihul Asab Rahmatullahi is not for Jamaat. Some statement that he made that was not right. It was like disrespectful. One statement he made. Now, this uncle and this chacha, Mawlana's father, he said, my personal friend, and he made that statement, and I saw myself first, and I saw how he's deteriorating now, diminishing. Before he had a beard, kurta, trouser, everything above the ankles, namaz regular, going out in jamaat, everything working very fine for him. Now suddenly I see now he's not hardly coming to the masjid where he was, and then now he's diminishing. He's not coming to the masjid now, coming for the Jummah. He said, I don't see him for the Jummah. Then I see the shirt coming up, and the kurta going away. Then I see topi going away. Then at that level, then I saw that the beard went away. Now he's only coming for Eid. Now I began to look back that where this thing started off. It started off all where he made this type of a statement. When he made that statement, then everything in him began to crack. He began to lose everything. You see this examining, checking yourself. You know, in a business, you want the business to run, you have to do some checks and balances. You don't have any checks and balances. You're making money, and anybody you want, your wife wants, your child wants, just take out money from the till and just move on. Take any amount. Is that business going to run? It'll be in Sakrats. We'll have problems. Everybody has got the right to take out how much he wants and how to draw or whatever. You've got no accountability, no checks and balances. What's going to happen? It's going to collapse. So, the importance of checking, all right, what happened now? Have I done things right? At least once in the day. Like how your finances, you check through them the day, daily, all right, this is what I need for the day, and where I need to take care, where did I score today, and you know for the next day how you must plan, right? So you have some understanding. The same will apply to your deen, or what have I done for the day, and where I've gone wrong, where I've gone right, what I must do, what I must save myself from. So I need to do this calculation. But I'm not doing any type of calculation, I'm just moving on like that, randomly, guessing around, speculating. And then I want to know why I'm not making the progress. Well, understand that you're not doing the checks and balances, so you must fail. So at the end of the day, now check up, very fairly, or what happened here, how it happened. Where have I gone wrong? Am I misused my tongue, am I misused my eyes? On the day of Qiyamah, person will come before Allah Ta'ala, he'll be given his books of deeds. So he'll check through the books of deeds and he'll complain to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. But there's no mention of all my deeds in this book. Allah Ta'ala will say, Iqra kitabak kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. That you will be able to see your own books. You will read, you don't need an accountant to help you. You will be able to read your books yourself. Everybody will be able to do it. You can see your deeds. The credit balance, the debit balance, losses. Whatever you have gained, whatever you have lost, you can read yourself. So you're going to complain to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, that I've been doing this. I went to three harams. Umrah I went for Hajj, I did so much of Durood Sharif. I did all these things here. But there's no mention of all what I have done. No mention here. I gave so much of sadaqah. I did this charitable work here. I put up this place here, but there's no mention of all this. So Allah Pak will say, yes, what you are saying is true. But by the same token, you've been engaging in backbiting. You've been slandering. You've been falsely accusing, slandering. Right? You've been doing all these things here. So all that has been cancelled. Because of the stupidity of yours, all the good that you have done, all is cancelled. So the importance of checking up. As you are moving, then the checks and balances, how important it is. And then we just carry on randomly, and then we don't know why we're slipping here, why are we not progressing, we don't find the same motivation, the same type of morale, why don't we experience it? So we're going to all types of places, mixed up with all types of people, all type of life, every type of food we're eating, and then want to know that why is things happening? You know, the most common command in the Quran Sharif, from the beginning till the end, the most common command is ittaqullah, fi Allah Ta'ala. That's the most repeated command. But this command, ittaqullah, what is this? What is the English equivalent? The equivalent of taqwa is take care, be careful, cautious, right? Now, how do you apply it? Be careful, be careful. Allah says, be careful. So I say, to enjoy good physical health, what is the requirement? You take good care. Eat the right type of food, right type of exercises, right? You don't overstress yourself, you rest correctly, work systematically, right? So you take the right type of food, right type of lifestyle, you don't stress yourself, then you don't have complications. Right? So you're taking care. If you're taking care, inshallah, you will lead a good life, you will enjoy life. But if you're not taking care, or there's an imbalance, you took care, you do your exercises, but you took too much of sugar, right? Right. Or you stressed yourself, you overstressed yourself, now there's going to be an imbalance in your health, and you try to worry, where does this come to me? So you didn't take the proper type of care. Had you taken the proper care, then you wouldn't have resulted in this. So you see, this is the beauty of the word taqwa, that you take care. Like in your physical health, your physical well-being, you need to take the right type of care. For your dini well-being, your spiritual well-being, then take care. You will take care, then you'll go well in your deen. But you're not going to take the right type of care, and you want to know why am I collapsing, why am I falling down, then go and inspect yourself, go and check yourself. There must be some checks and balances. What am I doing? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? What's happening to me? Whether it's a masla that you are falling in, whether it's a spiritual problem that you are going off, go and find out, go and introspect. Instead of just complaining about others that he's doing this, what about yourself? Did you check yourself? Where's the problem? My business, is it right? Is my relationship right with people? Am I talking with people rightly? So where am I falling? So you see this, you take care of the deeni side. So everything in the deen has to be taken care of. For you to be enjoying a deeni well-being, you want a physical well-being, then take care. You want a deeni well-being, spiritual well-being, take care. It's not just one thing, just putting tasbih on. There is a zikr for every situation, right? Are you respecting that zikr for that situation? For example, you're sitting here, right? Now that you're sitting here, the zikr here now requires فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. Now remain silent and listen attentively. Now if someone is making tasbih here, you know, it's wrong. That zikr is wrong. On this occasion, you're supposed to be listening and remaining silent. Now you're talking and you're making zikr and you're listening, no, this is not on. This is not, that's wrong. Because you're not in the zikr, you're not in the talk. If you are making zikr while the talk is on, then you are neither here, neither there. Both you're lost out. So for a different occasion, there is a different type of zikr. Are you doing the right type of zikr? If you're doing the right type of zikr, then you'll have the right type of response, right type of reaction. So everything has to be put in place, whether it's the right of Allah Ta'ala, whether it's the right of people, whether it's the right of your elder, whether it's the right of your child. But everything is falling in place. Now you're enjoying good deeni well-being. That's the meaning of taqwa. That's the essence of taqwa. So coming back to this story here, this person is just collapsing. Now this chacha, he explains to his friend, you see, I see you collapsing, and when I jog back my memory, I think it's from this point. You had shown some type of a disrespect there. And from that moment onwards, that point onwards, I saw consistently you were just dropping. So the right thing for you is go and ask for a maaf. Be humble, ask for a maaf, and ask him for his du'as. Inshallah, you ask for maaf, you've been humble, you've been submissive, Allah will open the way for you. But if you have your attitude and your arrogance stopping you, then you can get stuck in your arrogance. You're not going to move forward. You see, these old people, they give the right brains. They told you straight, but they tell you the right things. For that moment, perhaps you didn't like it, what they said, but what they told you was right. So this appealed to him. So what my friend is saying is right. This chacha is saying is right. So he wrote out, at that time there wasn't that WhatsApp and, so he didn't have all these things here. So he wrote a letter, sending it to Hazrat Rahmatullahi, Okay, this is my problem. You know, I had been having some reservations against you. And whilst I was having some reservations, I made some statements. And perhaps the statements that I made was not right. So humbly I ask you for forgiveness. And I ask you to make dua for me. Now this man is telling me that as that letter was read by Hazrat Ji, the first line, and Hazrat Ji said he's asking for a maaf, and what happened to him, Hazrat's response, immediate response was, "Yeh sab waham ki baat hai. It's just his suspicion, nothing. I'm not in the position that because of me, person will collapse." See now the humility. If it was one of us, say, "Yeah, you see, I'm a buzrug. You be very careful how you deal with me." Now see how this real buzrug, how they carry. Hey, this is all doubts, suspicions in your mind. I'm nowhere. But now I mean, you're begging me to make dua, then I don't want to disappoint a Muslim. Right? Now if I don't make dua for you, not that I am someone very great, that my du'as will be all answered, no. But if I'm not going to make the du'a now, then you'll feel disappointed, you'll feel hurt. And it's not for me to see you disappointed. So not to see you disappointed, I will raise my hands and make du'a. That man says, that he just made the du'a. Here the kurta came back. The namaz came back. He was not going on jamaat, the jamaat came back. Everything fell in place. You see this? The grace of Allah Ta'ala is the thing that is taking you. So don't ever think it's your self-achievement. It's the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Fadlullah. Dhalika fadlullah yu'tihi man yasha. The grace of Allah Ta'ala is with you, that pushes you. And the moment you disregard that grace, and you think, you know, I did it. That's all right, move, let's see how you're going to move. He'll just withdraw, he'll just pull it away. And then he's asking you, let's see how you're going to move. So, Allah Pak takes it so seriously, raising your voice. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ لِهِمْ. What was the right thing? That if Nabi Sam is engaged, you don't shout at him. Don't shout at him. He's engaged, he's in his apartment, right? So this, the whole ummah's responsibility are on the laps of Nabi Sam. And now, you're coming and just shouting, you want immediate attention, is that fair? He's attending to 101 people all the time, all the night, morning. He's attending to people's problems. But now you want immediate attention. Is that right? Is that fair towards him? So the right thing was, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ. You hold on, be patient. Until Nabi Sam himself, he comes out. He attends to you. Then you can talk to him. But now you're asking for an immediate audience and you want Nabi Sam to pay attention to you. It's not wrong. It's not right. It's not fair. Ibn Abbas, you know, when this thing happened, when this verse was revealed, the youngster, Nabi Sam just passed away very soon after that. So, if he had to acquire ilm, you know, he's going for the acquiring of deen, acquisition of deen, right? And he's the first blood cousin of Nabi Sam. Blood cousin of Nabi Sam. So he's so close to Nabi Sam. But he's going to acquire further his ilm. So as he's going to further his ilm, and he sees that this sahabi has got some ilm. This one has got some ilm. We're talking of Madina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama, and the intense heat, 45, 50 degrees, right? So he will not knock at the door of the teacher that he's going to. He would rather wait in the heat, allow that sandstorm to get over him. That person will come at his leisure. When he comes at his leisure and he sees Ibn Abbas, the dear cousin of Nabi Sassam, is waiting for him, he would feel very affected. But you, the cousin of Nabi Sassam, why didn't you just tell me that you are there? I would have come out. So he would say, you know, this is what Allah Pak speaks about a Nabi. And an alim, a notable alim, respectable, muttaqi alim, is like a Nabi. He's in the position of it because he's the waris. He's the heir of the Nabi, so he represents the Nabi. So when the Nabi is supposed to be given this type of respect, then the heir of the Nabi also is supposed to be given the same type of respect. So with that respect, then he becomes the Bahrul Ulum. He is a point of reference. You want to talk about tafsir or Quran. Ibn Abbas, what did he say? You want to talk about hadith, look at Ibn Abbas. So he became an ocean of knowledge. The catalyst was the respect. the respect, and this is where it brought him. See? So that is why, even in this day, they say that in those places where the name of Allah Ta'ala has been taken, or the name of the words of Nabi Sallam have been spoken about, they will show respect to that place. It's a masjid, for example. So in the precincts of a masjid, we're going to shout. We don't talk about our business and what happened here, and kem cho, ara cho, that you'll do outside. See, after nikah, and what happens to a masjid after that. So we'll go and do all that socializing, not that we don't do socializing, but do it outside the masjid. So we show the respect of the house of Allah Ta'ala, sanctity of that house. But you see what the respect does to you, how it puts everything in place. And the moment you begin to compromise on that respect, everything begins to fall. Everything begins to slip away. So wherever the word of Allah Ta'ala has been taken, the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been taken, his teachings are being imparted with respect. It's like a madrasa. So you won't shout. We'll talk there, we'll talk, and we'll speak respectfully. What is needed to be spoken, we'll speak about that. Right? So we'll show that respect. So as though we are feeling overwhelmed with the presence of the word of Allah Ta'ala, of His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now you see now what a dramatic effect it will have on your heart, on your mind. You show the respect, you show that consideration. Now Allah Ta'ala will also be considerate towards you. So these are the first opening verses of Surah Hujarat. Right? Now, I think we've still got about 12 minutes. So the second point in Surah Hujarat, in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu. One is the respect, consideration, right? And what it does to a person. Hazrat Rahmat gave one story, you know. He says, one Hindu had passed away. So the buzruk of the time, he saw that Hindu is going out in Jannat. Bhai, Lala ji, tum kya kar rahe ho yahan? Lala ji is like a word of respect for a Hindu, right? So Lala ji, what are you doing here? Jannat is not a place you come here by mistake. No, it's not like that. Maybe in a wedding invitation or something, I come here by mistake, right? But Jannat, you can't come there by mistake. That has to be approved. There's so many checks and balances before you reach up there. You can't get there by mistake. So Lala ji, how you came this side? How you landed here, this side? So he says, no, what happened really? That for 4 or 5 years before I could pass away, my son, 10, 11 years of age, it was the month of Ramadan and he was openly eating. So I gave him one shot. Behaya, be-sharam, tujhe tamiz nahi, be-adab, dekhte nahi ki musalmano ka roza ka mahina hai. Shameless child, you don't have any respect, no consideration for this people's fasting month. How dare you eat like this? So Allah Pak liked that. That this man showed the azmat, the respect of the month of Ramadan. Now we want that Islam to come in our homes. And sometimes it happens that you see your friends, your own people, openly eating at a restaurant in the month of Ramadan. And I ask you, aren't you attracting the wrath of Allah Ta'ala? Open defiance. And Allah Pak is saying, don't you disrespect this month. And you are saying with your behavior, Allah Pak, I will defy you. Allah Pak is saying, don't you eat. And openly, brazenly, what are you saying? No, Allah Pak, you said this, we will defy you and we will defy you openly. Can you imagine how you are attracting the wrath and the anger of Allah Ta'ala? Now here he is a non-Muslim, but he had the love for Allah Ta'ala. And on account of that love, he spanked his child, don't do this thing here. Say, when I did this, in a day's time, the next day I was a Muslim. Islam just poured into my heart. The reality, the truth of Islam just penetrated my heart. I accepted Islam at once, because Allah Ta'ala showed me the reality, and I practiced it. But I didn't advertise my Islam, because I was afraid of my house people, my home people. I would be ostracized, I would be thrown out. I'm old now, what must I do? I'm already over 75. Now, where must I finish up my days? So I practiced my Islam. I was a perfect Muslim. My namaz, my kalima, everything I did. Right? So that is why you see me in Jannah today. But the catalyst was that respect. Anything of Islam, anything of deen, the Quran Sharif. You see our old ladies, right? Our old grannies. Up till now, someone has an old granny or a mother or an aunt. read the Quran Sharif, then they'll have it covered on a gilaf, right? And a second gilaf. Then they'll, if they're opening the Quran Sharif, then they will take it, they will kiss it, put it by the forehead, put it by the heart, right? And then they'll put it onto a takia, onto a pillow. Right? And the takia, they'll have a gilaf first, and then they'll have the Quran Sharif over it. Right? And then they'll be reciting with so much of respect. They recited, then they will leave it again with respect. Who knows, perhaps the Islam we have got is on account of the respect of this woman. The respect that they had shown, our old, they may have not had much knowledge, right? But they showed that a lot of respect to the Quran, the word of Allah Ta'ala. It is His command, it is His word, right? So they showed it a lot of respect, a lot of regard. And as a barakat, as a consequence of that respect of theirs, we are enjoying Islam today. Now the same thing that was the cause of barakat and goodness, should we now delete this from our homes? Quran is just left anywhere into a school satchel bag, right? Or kitabs are just left anywhere, just thrown around, just taking it as a normal book. No respect for the recitation of the Quran Sharif, how it's recited. See? Is our Quran Sharif only confined to a Qiraat Jalsa when top Qari Sahib must come from somewhere and all of us will listen to that recitation as though we have done the duty of the Quran Sharif? Is that confined to that? See? Yes, we'll enjoy a good recitation, but it's not confined to this person's reciting. That we'll do every day in our homes. Every day, morning, evening. That was the pride of this ummah. Now the respect is gone. We're not doing it like we're supposed to be doing. And we replace it with either a tape or a radio show or a WhatsApp or some technology. We replace that Quran Sharif with. Is that home going to have that satisfaction? Is that home going to have that happiness? Are you going to have that mutual love and understanding within your folks? You can't. You can forget it. You can forget it. Totally forget it. See this respect. That tawheed, that oneness. They had all the Sahaba Ikram had this thing. Now we got that information minus the respect. Talha radiyallahu Abu Talha has got a house right in the precincts of the present Masjid al-Nabawi, right? Now look at the respect. Respect. So he's engaged in his namaz in that bagh, in that orchard of his. And whilst he's engaged in his namaz, a bird is fluttering between the branches. And he's getting excited. See, my garden is so well maintained. Birds also come and flutter here. He, as though his namaz got distracted for that moment. When he got distracted for that moment, now he said, now it's not worthwhile me keeping, retaining this orchard. Although in my calculation, if it was sold today, about 20 acres that he had, right? If it was sold today, it's now 20, forms part of the haram. It would be a couple of trillions today if it was sold, right? But he said now that my one namaz was affected because of this bird here, right? My concentration on Allah Ta'ala has been lost. So it's not worthy of me keeping it. I'm giving it away in charity. My relationship with my Allah Ta'ala has been disrupted. So I don't need to keep this. So I'm giving it away in charity. I ask you this, what we have got, these applications we've got. How much don't they disrupt the relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Can we say that it doesn't disrupt? How much does it disrupt the relationship with Allah? So the relationship with Allah is so insignificant that we do carry on haram, allow that relationship to be disruptive, and then carry on with Allah. You think Allah is going to appreciate this? He gave away that trillions for that one single bird. It was not of his own doing. Accidentally, that thing got stuck up in one of the branches, was fluttering around, and he gave the whole thing away. And we are keeping it deliberately in our pockets, in the masjid, at home. And then we want to have a beautiful relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Ikhabas wa mahalast wa junoon is just an illusion, it's madness. You want a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then be fair, be considerate. Understand that He's watching every small and big deed is being recorded, is being watched. You don't want anybody to disrupt your relationship with your best friend, your wife. Imagine a groom with his wife first night. And someone comes to disrupt the relationship. Do you appreciate it? Now you with Allah Ta'ala, and someone is disrupting it. This shaitan is disrupting it. And then you're not concerned about it. So how do you want Allah Ta'ala to respond to the situation? How do you want Allah Ta'ala to react to this? Favorably? Unfavorably? The least we can do is take all these things and just smash it down, throw it. Throw it down, throw it away, I say. Because you can see that the mess it brought to your lives. And my fear now, I'm hearing all this news, my fear is your iman will go one day. You're so respectful to this, so inconsiderate to Allah Ta'ala, and what if your iman went away? One man, he's about 70 years of age now, right? He tells me, mistakenly, I watched something, or it was a girl's picture. You know how something pops up? Pops up, right? So no, I didn't look at the thing, that thing just popped up. When it popped up, then what happened? My eyes popped out. It's a fact, everybody says it. That thing popped up, and then my eyes popped out. Right? Everybody says it. So this old chacha is telling me, that thing popped up, now I looked at it. Now in my namaz, and that whole picture, you know, the beauty, the naked woman, and all that finishes, it's coming between me and my namaz. So I just wanted to see what is in his heart. So the fear and the love of Allah Ta'ala, ignorant person, ordinary ignorant person, but the fear of Allah Ta'ala had gripped his heart so well, he says, you know what, I'm afraid that this thing doesn't become a barrier between me and the kalima whilst I'm dying. Imagine it caught me in my namaz. Now if this became a barrier between me and my kalima, when I'm in my deathbed then, so I said, Shara, what are you going to do? Say, hey, what if I were, I'm just throwing it away. Although I got quite a few things, you know, WhatsApp, whatever, the application, 20, 30, 40,000, I don't mind busting this, throwing it away. Keep an ordinary phone, just with an SMS feature and receiving calls, phoning, that's all. You're not going to go wrong. Yes, if you need it for your business purposes, just leave it at your business. Only in your business, leave it there in your business office, and let it be done whilst you are with someone. So you're not going to be looking at wrong, haram things. Now, the way this thing has caught people, the way it has become an addiction, as though you can't sleep. You'll be shouting everybody else, but the haram that you're involved in, you don't realize that perhaps that can become a barrier between you and your iman. And you're compromising that iman. All this, what we're watching and what we're looking at, we'll be going away. You see that Talha radiallahu anhu, it wasn't a sin. If the bird is fluttering, is that a sin? But that was an interruption between him and his Rabb. The relationship of Allah, with Allah Ta'ala was being snapped. He said, no, I can't afford this. Nothing can go. But my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, that mustn't be snapped. So why won't these people be radiallahu anhum wa radu'an? The Sahaba kiram. Why they're not the last one of them won't be radiallahu? Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them and he's declared his perpetual happiness with them. Why won't it be? Because they held Allah Ta'ala in that esteem. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. So the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala wasn't just muhabbat, it was to the extreme, intense muhabbat. So that muhabbat was intense, that Allah Ta'ala announced, I've forgiven you. وَلَقَدْ أَفَا عَنْكُمْ. All of you all, I've forgiven. No matter what, but I forgot. I've forgiven everything. Because your relationship, I'm looking at your relationship. You may have stumbled in your calculation, your reasoning, made a mistake here and there. But I'm seeing at your relationship, what was your relationship with me? So all of you all, I've forgiven. And all of you all, I declare my perpetual happiness. So I'll never be displeased with you. See, the last one of them, the highest or the lowest, Allah has declared. So where this thing came up from, that deep-rooted love and respect that they showed, that Allah Ta'ala says, I've forgiven the last one of them. And I say, they've all been declared with radiyallahu anhu wa radu'an. And then Nabi Sam is warning us, just be careful how you talk about my sahab, just be careful. Every khutbah that goes in nearly every masjid, Imam Sahib is saying, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, la tattakhidhum gharadam min ba'di. You be careful about my sahaba. You don't open your mouth against them. They may have some mistakes here and there, but that doesn't give you the license to speak out against them. Like if someone spoke out against your parents, right? What you will tell them, by? Just leave my parents. They may have made mistakes, but they don't give you the license to speak out against them. That's between them and Allah Ta'ala. You haven't got the right to speak out against them. So Allah Ta'ala grant us that tawfiq, that we respect all the aspects of deen, holding that esteem. Once we got that, inshallah, everything will fall in place.